we really don't ever need to lose the desire that we have to come into God's house, regardless of whether or not, you know, we got pews or we got carpet, or, you know, whether or not we got to sit outside in the rain or whatever. Because, I mean, I'd rather sit out inside in the rain with you people and talk about the Lord than a lot of people inside and talk about anything else. But I'm thankful, like Casey, that still have a desire to come into God's house. If you would turn in your Bibles to Hebrews, and we'll start in chapter 4. I don't know why. God's put this on my heart for, I'd say, probably the better part of a month, and I still don't have it all down, and probably won't. But, you know, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things in God's Word that we try to steer away from. You know, like maybe we'll start reading something, and it's kind of like, well, maybe, you know, I don't understand that, or maybe that hints at something that I don't believe. So I kind of, you know, want to steer clear of that. Well, you know, we don't need to do that. I mean, we need to get in the Word, and because we're afraid sometimes of having our beliefs changed. Amen? I mean, we're afraid sometimes that, you know, man, I might open this up and it might tell me something that convicts me, or it might show me something that's totally different than what I've believed my whole life. Now, some of you may not have dealt with that before, but you're taught... I love my mom and dad. I do. I really do. And you know what? You might believe this way, and if you do, I ain't going to fall out with you. I love you. I was taught my whole life growing up in church that if you got saved, that you could go and you could live however you wanted to, and God would keep you in His grace. It was a smack in the face when I started going to church down here, when I started going to church at Lick Creek, and it's like, wait a minute. They're not saying that, so it's, okay, now I've got a problem. You know, now, okay, do I continue to believe the way that I was taught to believe, or do I get in this Word and study it out for myself and let God speak to me, not listen to what somebody else has to say about it, maybe listen to them and say, okay, I see what you're saying, but I'm going to get in God's Amen. Word, and I'm going to pray for God to reveal things to me, and then God, whatever you show me, then that's what I'll go with, regardless of whether or not, if I study it out and I find that I can stay in your grace no matter what I do, or if I find that, you know what? Man, I need to keep the faith. Man, I need to keep pressing towards the mark for the prize of high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So I started studying. And God showed me that. I mean, I started studying, you know, and I read where it talks about that if any will add unto the book of Revelation, I'm sure you've studied this a lot, that I will take their name out of the Lamb's book of life. Well, in order to take your name out of the Lamb's book of life, it had to be there to begin with. Okay? So, now I'm not teaching on that. Okay? I'm just giving you an example here of don't steer away from something when you read it and it's like, man, I'm kind of uncomfortable reading this, because if you'll pray about it and you'll say, man, God, what do you want me to learn out of this? God, what do you want me to show you? I promise you at the end, man, it is a blessing.
Amen.
So, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. I mean, this is a familiar verse. I'd say the majority of you in here can quote this verse. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. How many of you have ever read that before? How many of you can quote that? Can somebody tell me what the difference is between soul and spirit? You have no idea what you look like right now. Like, yeah, I can. Yeah, I mean, we got chest puffed out. Yeah, man, I can quote that. What's the difference between soul and spirit? But I had read that a lot. And I mean, I'd always heard that we were three part beings and all that, and you know, we worship God in spirit and God saves our soul and all that stuff. But I never really put a lot of thought into, well, what's the difference between our soul and our spirit? So we're going to try to tackle that. And look, don't take my word for it. Please. I mean, he's tried to tell you this. He's tried to tell you this. I'll tell you this. You know what? We are not the authority on God's Word. God's Word is the authority on God's Word. You know, our job is to bring things to your attention. And then it's up to each and every one of you, me included, to go home and get in God's Word and see what God will reveal to you. Because there are a lot of times, you know, he'll send me a text or something. Hey, you ever read this? Or he'll say, hey, have you ever thought about this? And they'll say, man, God revealed this to me and showed me this. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, I never even looked at that way. But then God shows me something because somebody else sat down and said, I want God to reveal something to me. And you know what? If we sit down with the right heart and get in God's Word with, God, I want to become more knowledgeable in your Word. If we sit down and do that, then I believe that God will reveal stuff to you, regardless of whether or not reading puts you to sleep or not. I always try to do that. You know, put the kids to bed about 9:30. Go upstairs and it's quiet. About two verses. Calm down. But you know what? A lot of times I'm just kind of like to say, okay, well, I read my Bible today. My heart's not right in getting in it. But man, hey, when I set to studying something, like we ought to set to studying something, man, it's amazing what God will reveal to you. So what's the difference between the soul and the spirit? Well, number one, we know that the soul and the spirit can be divided. Okay? So at one point, or the soul and the spirit are able to be connected. Okay, we see that by this verse because it says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. So the Word of God is able to separate your spirit and your soul. Now, why is that important? Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll start with the Spirit first. Because the Spirit, to me, and what I've studied, is a lot easier to define than what the soul is. So look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. Now if you look above in verse 9, we quote this a lot, for I hath not seen nor heard, neither hath entered into the hearts of man the things God hath prepared to them that love him. But if you move on down, it says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Okay? How does God speak to us? By his Holy Spirit. Right? It's kind of a circle. Alright? This is how I explain it to my kids and how I explain it to the high school kids and all this. How do we talk to God? We talk to God through Jesus Christ, right? How does God talk to us? He talks to us through the Holy Spirit. So it's a circle. God talks to us through the Holy Spirit. In turn, when we pray to God through Jesus Christ. So how does God speak to us? It's through the Holy Spirit. So how do we know of things in heaven? It's because God reveals them to us. Anything that God reveals to us, He reveals to us through His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit. Not yet our Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit. Did I say 2 Corinthians? Sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. That might have been one of them where I was nodding off there about 10 o'clock at night. So we see that God reveals to us through His Spirit, okay, through the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man? How do we know what we know? It's through our spirit. We have a knowledge, okay? How do we know about the things about us? It's through our spirit. Now look what it says Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So what's Paul trying to say here? Look in verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit is of God. So what is the Spirit? The Spirit is knowledge. That's what the Spirit of God is the knowledge of God. Okay? The Spirit of God is the knowledge of God, is our concept of God. It's what we know. Okay? Now follow me here. This is coming to a point here. Okay? What we know, that is our spirit. Okay? Because look what it says. It's what man knoweth the things of a man, save or except the spirit of the man which is in him. So what gives a man knowledge? It's the spirit of man. Okay? It's the spirit that God puts into a man. Now that's the spirit of a man. Before you were saved, what did you follow? You followed what you knew to do, right? I venture to say that before any of us were saved, we weren't getting up in the morning and saying, man, how can I bring glory to God? Right? Before we were saved, our spirit, our knowledge, what we thought was good was to get up and say, how can I do what's best for me? Right? Why do you think the Holy Spirit has to come in and dwell in you when you accept Jesus Christ? To lead and guide us. And now what that Holy Spirit does, the Bible says that His Spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. So now when that Holy Spirit comes in and resides with us, that changes our knowledge. That changes what we are. That changes what we know. So now the way it works is I no longer, or I shouldn't any longer, get up and say, how can I please Jeremy? But with the Spirit of God, now what I know to do is to get up and say, how can I bring glory to God? Or how can I bring glory to Jesus Christ? I taught about 2 months ago that I would, I do not, and that I would not, that I do. Remember when Paul was talking about that? That's exactly what Paul is talking about. He was talking about the war of the two spirits that dwelt in him. He said, you know what? I still have the spirit of man. I still remember the things that I used to like to do. And sometimes I chase after those. But I still have the Spirit of God that lets me know that I shouldn't do that. So with my mind, remember what he said? With my mind, with my flesh, I serve the spirit of man, but with my mind, I serve God. I think if you're here and you're saved, with our mind, we serve God. Because I don't think any of us want to sin. I don't think that any of us that really set out, say, man, I'm going to sin against God today. Right? I mean, we don't do that, right? I mean, most of the time I find when I sin, don't even realize it at the time. And then when I stop, it's like, man, I just screwed up right there. Oh. But why? Because the knowledge that God placed in me through His Holy Spirit let the knowledge of my spirit know that that's not what I was supposed to be. That's not what I was supposed to be doing. Okay? So knowledge to know. Okay? Kind of know what we're supposed to do. All right? Is everybody following that? I'm not trying to make this difficult, but I mean, you know, I've never really heard a lot of people teach on the difference between the soul and the spirit, and we shouldn't be afraid to teach anything in here. I mean, you know, if I'm wrong, you know what I'd do if I was you? I'd get in there and show me where I'm wrong. Because then that'll help everybody. Because if you can come and you can bring the Word of God to me and say, you know what, I was reading this right here, and you're off base. Praise the Lord. Now, I've got a better handle on things too. We're all in this together, are we not? I mean, every one of us are. We're all in this. We're all just trying to learn what God wants us to do. We're trying to get more knowledge of God and how we can go out and better spread the gospel to the world. Look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. So, we know that the soul and spirit are separated. We know that the Spirit is the knowledge that that we have in our life, the knowledge of the things that we of what we know to do, whether or not it would be following the spirit of man, which is to sin, or whether or not the Spirit of God lives in us to where we follow what God wants to do. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So we see in this right here, and you hath he quickened. Now anytime you see quickened in the Bible, that means made alive. Okay, that does not mean, anybody ever seen the movie of Quick and the Dead, the Western? Thank you. Whew. I thought I was the only one. That doesn't mean the fast and the dead. That means the live and the dead. That's what the Bible is saying. And you hath he quickened. You hath he made alive. Now, in order to make something alive, it had to be not alive. I mean, that's common sense, right? In order for something to be made alive, that means that it had to be dead to begin with. Okay? So, if the spirit of man, the spirit that you were born with, now we can all agree that the spirit that we were born with is sinful. Amen? Because when Adam sinned, Adam's sinful nature was passed down to us. Okay? We're born with a sinful nature. So, when we realize that our sin separates us from God, when we realize that God has commanded us to do certain things and then we don't do it, or we do certain things that God tells us not to do and we know that God doesn't want to do that, at that point we die. Okay? That's what Paul said. He said, I was alive without the law. But when the commandments came, sin revived and I died. So when Paul understood where his sin put him, at that point he was, for all intent and purposes, he was spiritually dead. Every one of us, before we accepted Jesus Christ, was spiritually dead. Okay? But we are made alive now through Jesus Christ. Well, how can you make something alive? There's only been one person that died. Well, I shouldn't say that. If you look at every person in the accounts of the Bible that died, who raised them? God. Right? Whether or not it be the Holy Spirit, whether or not it be... now, if you read in the Old Testament, you read about, I believe it was Elijah that stretched out on the little boy there. But did Elijah do that by himself? No. Elijah did that through God. God is the only person that can make something alive. So in order to make our spirit alive, what has to happen? God has to do something. And the way God has set it up is that now His Spirit comes and dwells in us. So now, instead of it just being our spirit, now when we accept Jesus Christ, that Holy Spirit comes and it connects with our spirit, and then that lets us know that we're saved. Okay? So, the spirit could be alive or it could be dead. It is made alive by Christ. And I don't want to keep you too long. If you want to know that it's made alive by Christ, go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. It'll tell you that. The soul. So we've established, do we think that we have a hold on what the spirit is? The spirit is the knowledge of what we're supposed to do. Okay? Our knowledge, the part that knows, that's what the spirit is. Okay? What is the soul? The soul is a lot harder to define. If you look at the definition of a soul, this is about the best way that I can explain it. Your soul is you. Okay? Your soul is you. Your soul is the place where your affections and your desires come from. Now, there's a big difference. And here's where we see the difference between the soul and the spirit. There's a big difference between knowing to do something and then having the will to do something. Right? I might know that I need to get up at a certain time in the morning. I might not have the will to get up. Now, do I know that I should get up at that time? Yes. Is it important to me if I don't? Apparently not very much. Right? But that's how we compare the soul with the spirit. The soul is not what we know to do. The soul is our desires. The soul is our will, what we set in our heart to do. So we have the spirit, which is the knowledge of what we should do. And we have the soul, which is what we have the will to do. Now I'm hoping to tie this up. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. So if you think about the soul, just think about your will. Okay? Anytime you think about the soul, think about your will. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. And we'll be in verse 38. It's funny because like I was talking about when I was studying about, well, can a man fall out of God's grace or does a man stay in God's grace, you know, for eternity and all this stuff. When I read Hebrews, I mean, it's like... Because I come to chapter 10 and then I start at verse 38. I said, now, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. So now what that means is there are people who can draw back unto perdition. Anybody know what Judas was called after he hung himself? He was always referred to from that point on as the son of perdition. Okay? It says, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now think about this, and maybe you'll look at this a little bit different now. Think about the fact that, man, that God saved my will. I mean, think about that. That God saved your will. God saved you as far as what you wanted to do. God saved you as far as the desires that we had. The things that I wanted to do, the things that I had a desire to do, the will that I had in my life, the things that I wanted, man, God saved that. Because we talk about all the time, people say, man, I'm a changed man, or I'm a changed woman. What's changed about you? Your will. What your desires are. Man, I don't desire to drink anymore. I don't. Now, hey, and you know what? You might be, if you're a young Christian in here, there might be things that you did when you were lost that you're still struggling with. And you know what? That's okay. Because that's what Satan, because, you know, that's what Satan's trying to do. Satan's trying to get your seed up on that rock so the sun will hit down on it and it'll choke you out and it'll burn you out. But you know what? As long as you keep saying, hey, you know what? I'm not doing that. As much as you're tempted to, my will has changed. God has changed my will. And I know that now that I have the Holy Spirit with me, okay, now that Holy Spirit comes in, and now the Holy Spirit and our spirit and our soul all live in the same house, which is the body. That's where the three-part being comes in: spirit, soul, and body. And they all three go a different place when we die, by the way. But if you look at our soul, that's what God saves. He saves our desires. He saves our will. And so now what happens is when we get saved, now our soul gets on the same road as what our spirit is. And now they're walking hand in hand. Now the things I know to do, now those are the things that I have a desire to do. That's what Paul is saying in Romans. Man, I know what I'm supposed to do, and I have a desire to do them. Now, does that mean you don't go off on the ditch every now and then? No. Paul even said that. But that's how we know that we're saved, is when our spirit, what God puts in us, and the knowledge that God shows us, and what we know to do, that's when we know we're saved, is when we have a desire to do those things. And we have a will to do those things. Okay? So, let's hammer home this will thing just for a little bit. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 11 says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which do what? Which war against the soul." Why do you think Satan appeals to our flesh? Why do you think Satan always puts things in front of us that appeals to our fleshly nature? Because what's Satan trying to do? Satan's trying to change our will, right? Satan's trying to get me to not want to come to church. Man, I tell you, I think it's great when people stand up and say, "You know what, I thought about not coming tonight." But they'll stand up and say, "But man, I'm glad I came." Because you know what? That's a war against the flesh. And what was happening there is Satan is trying to get into you and say, "You know what? You don't need to go. You just, hey, it's okay to miss one church service every now and then." And hey, look, I understand things. Nobody's going to blot your name out of the membership book, and we're not going to lock the door, you know, if you miss a church service. But you know what? If you're sitting at the house, you know, you're pretty comfortable. Man, maybe in the Lazy Boy, or maybe laying on the couch and you just ate supper and you sit down to watch Gunsmoke or Cheyenne or something like that. And it's just like, man, you're feeling real comfortable. It's like, whew, man, I could just sit here all evening. And then you look and it's 20 to 7. I'll sit here and watch 5 or 10 more minutes, and then it'll be 10 to 7. You know what? I'll get there in time. Then pretty soon it's 7 o'clock. Well, you know what? I'm not able to walk in 10 minutes late. That'd be fine. Pretty soon you're watching Death Valley Days and they've went into the James Stewart movies. Right? And it's 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night. You know what? And you've missed the church service. Now, we laugh about that, and I know that all of you don't watch the Western Channel. But the point is that's how Satan works, because that's how Satan wars with us to our flesh. A year ago, I wouldn't let my kids come in here. Honestly, it was nasty, wasn't it? I mean, ceiling was about about that tall. And I mean, just whoo, drop ceiling, the whole old nasty linoleum floors. There was about 6 or 7 rooms in here, but people didn't care. Like, man, I just want to praise the Lord. Man, I just want to be with my brothers and sisters. I just want to hear the Word of God. Man, I just want to come in and I want to feel the Spirit of God. Now, man, that desire was right. But you know what Satan will start doing now? How he starts working on our soul, how he starts working on our desire is, whew, man, by the time church was over with the other night, it was 76 degrees in here. If they can't keep it no cooler than that in here, and if I can't come in here, and I don't mean that towards you. I'm giving an example. I don't mean that towards you, I promise. Because really one of the best services we ever had was when the electric was out and we had the ordination for Tim and Ray, and everybody in here was sweating and didn't care. I spent 2.5 hours in here. Hey, you know what? People were just fanning everything else. And, you know, he's praising God. Hey, praise the Lord. We praise the Lord in the dark. Praise the Lord when it's hot. Yeah, and when we think about it, you know, 76 degrees ain't hot. Are you kidding me? But you know what? And it ain't you. And typically, none of us would think that. But Satan's like, man, it's awful hot. You know? Hey, I'll tell you what, it ain't cheap to get a suit dry cleaned, right? I know, I've had a, you know, my, hey, look, I am puke all over me, and, you know, Lily will eat them cheese balls back there, and, you know, "Hi, Daddy," and, "Well, let's go get that one dry cleaned again." It's like, man, if I sweat too much in this suit, I'm going to have to take this thing to the cleaners. That's going to run me $30. So you know what? I just won't come back until it's cooler. Or you know what? I won't come back until I can walk in here and not feel like I'm sitting down in somebody else's seat. How many times you hear that? "I don't know where to sit down." What do you mean? There's 10 rows right there. Well, what if I'm sitting in somebody else's seat? The last time I checked, we don't go through StubHub. You know, these seats ain't marked. You know, nobody sits on, you know, row B, seat 2, section F. Come in and sit down. And you know what? If you're up here singing in the choir and somebody's sitting in your seat, praise the Lord. They ain't tired. You helped out a brother or a sister. But And I know that sounds funny, and if I offended any of you, I'm sorry, but I'm trying to make a point to you that that's how Satan works on us, is to just gradually put those little thoughts in our mind to change our desire and to change our will and to get our soul where we can't come in and praise God. We're worried about everything else. Worried about whether they give my youngin' any sugar. I can promise you they're getting sugar. Right? And you won't bring your kids to a church here for one service that they don't get it. Right? But you know what? I find my kids go to bed when we get home. I mean, I have a hard time believing that if you'll sacrifice and bring your kids to church, that whatever sugar that they give them, I don't think God's going to let you stay up all night with your kids because they got a pixie sticks back there. You know what? And they're hearing the Word of God. So we got to be cognizant when Satan starts slipping in there and you start thinking, oh, man, because that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to change your will. Because if he can get your will and your desires, which is encompassed in your soul, if he can get that to where it's not going along with the Spirit of God, that's what he's talking about. We are not of those who have drawn back to perdition. When people talk about, when the Bible talks about people's faith being shipwrecked, you know where it all starts? It starts with Satan changing your will. It all starts with Satan trying to get in and use something to change your desires. Because if you desire, man, young Christians, listen to this. If you desire something other than Jesus Christ and you continue that way, then eventually you lose your faith in Jesus Christ. And my Bible tells me that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. My Bible tells me that without faith, you can't be saved. That's what the Bible says. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith. So we access God's grace by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Amen? So, to bring this around, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What separates what we know and what our desires are? It's the Word of God. The Word of God shows us how we're supposed to be, and the Word of God shows us where our will is right now. Because the Word of God will show us what we're supposed to do. And the Word of God, if we read and see what we're supposed to do, we are to have enough common sense that we can look and say, is what I'm supposed to do what I'm actually doing? That's how the Word of God separates the soul and the spirit. It tells you what your knowledge should be, what you should know, and it shows you what your desires are, what your will is, and then ultimately, this is where salvation comes in, is do you want your soul to be with your spirit? Because that's what God wants. That's what God saves, is the soul. Because the Bible says that the spirit returns to God who gave it. And it says the body goes in the ground to rest. But now the soul is present with the Lord. Okay? The Word of God. You want to know what you're doing is right? You want to know if you're living right with God? Do you want to have a better knowledge of God and what God wants in your life? Man, pick that up right there. Don't come and look. Don't come and ask me before you pick this up. Don't come and ask Him before you pick this up. Don't come and ask Him before you get pick this up. I can't tell you how many people, hey, and you know what? I'm glad you have a desire, but hey, what can I do? Ask God. Because God can tell you a lot better than I can. Or anybody else here. God can tell you. And I find most people who come and say, what can I do? You already know what God wants you to do. You're just trying to get it out of it and do something easier. Right? That's what I did. Man, God calls me to preach. I'll teach. That's a lot easier. I can get off by myself there. Don't have to wear a shirt and tie. Because surely I know more about the Bible than what them high school kids is. I could lie to them. They wouldn't know. Man, it's different, you know, when you start. I didn't, by the way. I'm just teasing. But you know what? It's different when you get in front and you start preaching and you start teaching to people who have been Christians longer than you have. And you're sitting and preaching to people who may or may not know more about God's Word than what you do. And they're like, man, I can't do that. I mean, I can go teach them high school kids. Yeah, that's right. But then you know what? God starts chewing on you. Man, get in this word. Ask God to reveal to you. And he does. When he does, then now you're just that much closer between that spirit and that soul being where God wants them to be.